Thank y'all so much. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, I've told you before, sometimes I wonder where God leads me in a particular sermon, if it's just for me, or if it's for somebody else, but it never fails that somewhere along the way God will give me confirmation that, you know what, you're on the right track. And today is no exception. We had a wonderful time in our Sunday school class this morning with Miss Diane. And I'll tie this into that in just a moment. But our text is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But," and that "but" changes everything, "God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, for the next few moments, Lord, let us feel you touching our hearts. Let us feel you speaking to our souls. And Father, make us obedient to the moving of your Holy Spirit in this place. Father, if you tell us to be still, may we be still. If you tell us to move, may we move. And Lord, if there are any here this morning that have never made that commitment to you, Lord, I know that you will speak to their hearts today. Father, help them. Help them, Lord, to accept you into their life before it's too late. We give you this time right now. And we look forward, Lord, to what you're going to do. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I don't know everything that's going on in your life. I know there's some people and some families in here that you got stuff happening. But I don't know everybody's situation. I even don't know, even as your pastor sometimes, I don't even know the extent that you're dealing with everything that you have to deal with. Just like you don't know what I'm having to deal with. But I guarantee you, every one of us in here this morning, if we're honest with ourselves, we've got something going on. We've got some stuff going on, and it may be minor or it may be major. But I guarantee you, it's crossed our mind, God, how are you going to fix this? Or maybe if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, maybe you haven't gone to God. Maybe you've been sitting there wringing your hands going, how's this going to turn out? How am I going to fix this? The scripture that we just read says that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. That word temptation, we look at it as being tempted to turn our backs on God. But you know what? For every hardship that we go through, whether it's sickness or death of a loved one or some financial business, whatever it might be, do you know that the devil uses that to try and get us to turn our backs on God? So it's not just when I'm tempted to steal something or when I'm tempted to do something wrong. This means anytime anything comes against us where we don't feel like that there is a way out, God will always make a way. And I believe that, don't you? I believe that. It's like Miss Diane said this morning in our Sunday school class, sometimes God says, be still. Be still so I can help you. And other times he says, move. Get up from where you are. Take a few steps toward me and I'll meet you there. Here's the problem. Most of the time when he tells me to be still, I'm squirming. You are too. And most of the time when I'm still, he's saying, move. Move. Get up. Move. Move. God's always been in the business of providing a way. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you and your wife with a son. And he did. Isaac, the Bible says that he loved him above everything else except for God. And when Isaac is almost a teenager, God comes to Abraham and said, I want you to take Isaac, the son I gave you, the son that you love, and I want you to go and sacrifice him to me in a land that I'll show you. You think Abraham understood that? I don't think so. But guess what he did? He loaded up and started out. 3 days, they journeyed. I got to imagine those are hard 3 days, don't you? Abraham tells his servants, you stay here, and me and the boy are going to go and sacrifice to the Lord. And if you read the scripture, Abraham's faith is beyond words, because even by his statement, he's saying, I know God's going to make a way, even though I don't see it, because he told his servants, he said, you wait here. He said, we're going to go sacrifice, and me and the boy will return to you. They get up to the top of Mount Moriah. Isaac says, Father, I see the altar, I see the fire, and I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, God will provide. But God hadn't shown him how he was going to provide. The Bible says that he bound Isaac on the altar and he raised his knife to slay him, and God stopped him. And Abraham looked up and there was a ram caught in the thicket, and they offered the sacrifice. God made a way when there didn't seem to be a way. Where we get confused, let me rephrase that. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. Where I get confused a lot of times is I know in my heart God will make a way, but I want to know how. I want to know how. I'm on my knees praying, God, I've got the faith that you can get me through this situation, that you can provide. But tell me how you're going to do it. I don't recall getting an answer to that prayer. I think God's favorite word to me is after the fact going, see? Just have faith. See? Done it before, I can do it again. Once we understand that God can make a way where there is no other way, we can sing that old song by the Crab Family, He'll Make a Way. Have you ever heard that? The chorus says, He'll make a way in the middle of nowhere. When it seems no one really cares, He's there by your side. He'll make a way when you feel Satan close in. Don't give up, don't give up. He'll make a way right on time. And He does. No matter what the predicament, no matter what the problem or difficulty that we're facing, the Lord can make a way when there seems to be absolutely no solution in sight. God always provides a solution to any problem we're facing in the will of God. It may not be the way we intend. It may not be the way we would have planned it ourselves, but if it's in the will of God. Paul knew and understood how God makes a way when there seems to be no way. When he wrote our scripture this morning, he said, but there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted that above which ye are able. Some of you in here this morning, I can't help but think of Beverly's family. The last couple years you've been through it. You've been stretched out. You've been through the ringer. You've experienced sickness. You've experienced death in your family. And you wonder sometimes, can I handle any more? And I wouldn't have you go through nothing that you've been through for anything if it was up to me. And I know there's some times where you probably felt like, I can't take another step. But guess what? And I don't mean to use you as an example, but you chose to sit here.
It's easier for me to hear you.
It's easier for you to hear me. That's good. But do you realize that you are living proof of the validity of this verse this morning? I mean, you're a walking, talking example of what he says here. Nothing has overtaken us that we're not able to bear. I'm sure she has been bent double. But she's here this morning. Amen. She's here this morning. You see, what we really need to do, and I say we because this is hard to do, we need to take those things that come against us and we need to let it motivate us and enable us to do things that we don't think are humanly possible. The Word of God is constantly working in our lives to enable us to accomplish God's will for our life. And He wants us to be more like Him. Many of us know what it means that the Lord will find a way when there seems to be no way. We know Christ. We have a relationship with Him. His mind is our mind through the presence of the Holy Spirit and study of His Word. And we know that we can depend on Him to get us through whatever predicament we find ourselves in. And I want to just touch on a few things this morning. God makes a way when there seems to be no way, when we ask the Lord to teach us the way to go. I want you to listen to what Moses said. Moses said to God, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee and find grace in thy sight." You know what? When we know the Lord, we want to be like Him. David, the psalmist, even wrote, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." God makes a way when we ask the Lord to teach us His way. Sometimes that lesson might be hard. Sometimes learning God's way is difficult. Sometimes it's almost comical. But I'll tell you, when we learn His way, when we learn what He wants us to do and what He would have us to do, He always seems to be able to make a way where there seems to be no way. God also makes a way where there seems to be no way when we ask, seek, and knock. The Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." We need to be persistent. We need to be persistent in asking God to make a way where there seems to be no way, to get us through the temptation, the trial that we're facing. A lot of times we give up when we don't get an answer very quickly on a way to find our way out of our problems. God's promise to us is to provide a way out of our problems, but it is conditioned upon our tenacity to ask and to seek and to knock until He opens up the door. I heard one of my friends tell me one time, he said, "It works the other way around too, Roger." He said, a lot of times, he said, God is knocking at the door, wanting us to open it to Him. He said, "I can tell you, if you don't open it, He's going to kick it in." But you But you know what? If we ask and we seek and we knock, He always opens the door for our situation at just the right time. God also makes a way where there seems to be no way when we admit that we are human and that our ways are often contrary to God's ways. The Bible says that God says, "Your ways are not my ways." Sometimes they are. Sometimes we are in perfect alignment with God. But I have been in more than one situation where I have lined up my plans on how I wanted things to work out. And then God comes on the scene. Let me use an analogy. For some of our young people, you don't remember this. This was way before your time. This is an old folks game. Do y'all remember a game called Barrel Full of Monkeys? Look, thank you. Thank you. That's my people. That's my people. The senior citizen discount people. I love it. Yeah. You would take those things in this little plastic barrel, these monkeys, and they had arms facing different ways, and you'd dump them out. And then you would see how many you could pick up on a line. You'd see how many of those things you could pick up on a line. I forgot even where I was heading with that, to be quite honest with you. Y'all got me so tickled, I forgot where I was even going with that. Our plans don't match God's. You know what? There's another living example for you this morning. I had a good point I wanted to tell you, and God just looked down and said, uh-uh. Hey, your pastor is not perfect.
That's halfway home.
I will send out a one call to everybody so you will know. Our ways are not always His ways. God makes a way when there seems to be no way, when we finally get down to where we confess our sins and our inadequacies and our inability to handle what is in front of us. How many times have you found yourself in a situation and you look around and you assess the situation and you've got a smart business mind, smart financial mind, smart interpersonal mind, and you think, okay, I know exactly how I'm going to handle this. And then the next shoe falls and you find out, I can't handle this. Have you ever tried to continue to plow forward with not having everything that you need to solve the problem? Have you ever realized it's only when we come to God and we bow our face before Him and we say, God, I can't handle this. It's yours. Several years ago, there was somebody that was going through a very difficult situation. It was not only a family situation, it was a business situation. And the two got intermingled. And they would call me and they would say, can you talk to me? I need to talk to somebody about this. And we would sit down and we would talk about it. And they would get up and they would leave. And guess what happened? The problem never got any better. The problem got worse. And one day they called, can I meet you at the church? I said, sure. I got to the church. They were in the parking lot. I opened up the door. We walked in, and I headed to my office, and they walked right past me and walked straight to the altar and fell on the altar. They started crying, and they started praying. And I don't mean words. I mean pouring their heart out to God, saying, I'm at the end of my rope. I can't handle it anymore. And I knelt down on that altar and I prayed. And you know what? That wasn't the first time or the last time that happened. And guess what? I don't know the particulars of how everything got fixed, But I will tell you this, it got fixed. It got fixed. I don't need to know the particulars of it. It wasn't any of my business. But I do know when they came back to me and said, you know what, I don't know how God did this, but God's got it handled. God made a way where there didn't seem to be a way. But it was only after they admitted, I can't do this on my own. God always makes a way when we come to Him and admit that He's got a better way than ours. God always makes a way where there seems to be no way when we fix our eyes on Him as the author and finisher of our faith. I told Ginger the other night, we were just, I don't know, one of those sappy moments that husbands and wives have, you know. But I looked at her and I was talking to her and I said, don't ever quit loving me. And she looked at me, she goes, why would you even say that? She goes, I'm never going to quit loving you. And we're recording this, so. Gotcha. And I told, she looked at me, she said, you don't think that would ever happen? I said, no. And I don't. She is the other side of my coin. She is the one that God sent to me. There is no doubt in my mind. I mean, one human on this earth to put up with me and walk through life with me, and there she is. God put her in close proximity to me, and that is, and really, we've even talked about how we came to date and even ended up getting married, and it's really a God thing. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that it is. I know that. And I can hold on to the fact that when she tells me, honey, I love you, I know that beyond any doubt. That never gets shaken. We can hold on to the fact, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the source of our faith. He's never going to do anything that's going to rattle our faith. We live in an imperfect world. And so when we see bad things happen to good people, like last week, I think it was here in Johnston County, where the drunk driver hit the vehicle and killed a couple of people. We look at that and we think, you know, God, how in the world could you allow something like that? You know what? I don't understand that. I really don't. But I've got faith enough to believe that somewhere in the middle of all this tragedy, God can get glory, because He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He's where my faith starts. He's where my faith ends. And everything in between. Jesus isn't just the way to heaven, but He is the perfect way to heaven. He is the author, finisher, and perfecter of my faith. That's why I believe Philippians 4:13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will make a way when there seems to be no way, when we seek His kingdom first. When we seek His kingdom first. The Bible tells us to seek God and His kingdom first, and then and His righteousness. And then it says all essential things will be added to us. There's a progression in that. Do you see that? Seek Him first. First. Not afterwards. That's the deal we want to make, right? We live in the 21st century where we've got this priority thinking. We're notoriously trying to pursue our human concepts of what success is all about. You know what? It's funny how your definition of success and happiness changes the older you get, isn't it? It really is. When I went to work for Nationwide, I remember setting a goal that on what I wanted my salary to be by the time I was 30 years old. I set a goal for what steps on the ladder I wanted to take. One of my favorite sayings, one of my favorite quotes is from Thomas Huxley, and I still love the quote. It says, "The rung of a ladder was never meant for a man to rest upon, but merely for him to enable him to place the other foot somewhat higher." I like that. That's even a good motto for our church. You know, we don't ever want to quit growing. But can I tell you this? As far as Nationwide is concerned, if they would just leave me alone to retirement, I'm good. I'm good. April 2. They'll just leave us alone, right?
They'll never do it.
But you know what makes me happy now? Used to make me happy when I got that call and I got that other job or I got that promotion or I got that raise. And it still makes me happy, don't get me wrong. But it's not as important. What's important now is when the doctor comes out and says, "Mr. Hill, Ginger came through her surgery and everything's okay." What makes me happy now is when somebody comes to the altar and says, "Pastor Roger, I want to give my heart to Christ." What makes me happy now is when we're able to do things as a church body in unity. And God has blessed us with the fact that when it's all said and done. Man asked me the other day, he said, "I heard y'all doing some renovation at Powell 10. He said, did you go to church finance for a loan?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, how much y'all gonna owe on this?" I said, "The last check." That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I love being a pastor where I don't have to come to you and say, "We need to go take a $100,000 loan out." We don't have to do that because God has blessed us. What makes me happy now is when my son calls me and says, "Dad, thanks for praying. I got that job at Griffles." That makes me happy. What makes me happy is going to see my niece the other night get on the back of a horse and ride round and round and round. And I know that sounds boring to you there. Everybody's just an animal going around. But to see this kid on that horse smiling from ear to ear, she's my girl. That makes me happy. What makes me happy is God blessing me with good health and my family with good health. What blesses me now is seeing my church family, I'm seeing God lead them through trials and tribulations in their life and take them from the valley and set them on the mountaintop. What blesses me now is seeing my friends that I grew up with be okay. And even though they go through difficult times, knowing that God's with them. You see, when we first realize that if we seek God, He's going to supply all these other things to us. He'll make a way when there seems to be no way. And I promise I will end in about 2 minutes. God will make a way when we work with other members in His kingdom that have gifts that complement ours. Let me tell you something. Sometimes a pastor gets patted on the back. I just got back. Me and Mr. Buck and Miss Sandra went to the Cape Fear Conference meeting down in Dunn in Spivey's Corner this week, and I had a couple of ministers pat me on the back and tell me, said, "I'm hearing good things about Powell 10. Yeah, I love to hear that. You're doing a good job there. Here's what I told them. One person can't do everything. One person doesn't do everything. This place is a conglomeration of talented, gifted people. And God has brought us together because we all have different abilities. We all have different talents that by themselves may not be much, but you bring them together, and guess what? It is a powerful army. It is a powerful... Oh, and by the way, there's room for more. Everybody has got a job. I've heard people say, "I don't need to go to church. I can stay at home and still be a Christian." And you know what? You can, but I would submit this to you. You can be a much stronger Christian if you make yourself and align yourself with God's people. And I really believe if you have Christ in your heart, you're going to want to do that. You're going to want to do that. Because sometimes the way God makes a way when there seems to be no way is by using other people in your life. I guarantee you, every one of you and I can point to examples where we were sitting there going, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to make it the next week. I don't know how I'm going to be able to stretch this $50 I got left in my bank account to next week. And somebody comes along, maybe anonymously, maybe that you know it, and they provide. They provide. God's got a way of using others. And finally, let me end with this. God will make a way when there seems to be no way, when we rely on the Holy Spirit to fight our battles and not us. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. By my spirit, saith the Lord. We can't fight our own battles in our own strength. We need Almighty God. Well, let me rephrase that. I need Almighty God. And I hope, if you haven't gotten there already, I hope you come to the realization that you need Him too. Because you know what? The devil's days are numbered. I know that. You know that. He knows that. But I'm telling you, until that day comes, he is a formidable enemy. And I don't care how good of a Christian you and I think we are, we cannot fight him on our own. And we don't have to. I heard a song this morning I told Ginger about. There was a line in the song, and the name of the song was "The God Who Stays." And it talks about, God, when the whole world is running away from me, you're the one that runs toward me. You know why? Because he's there to help us fight our battles. We're not on the battlefield alone. We talked this morning about the children of Israel and the Egyptians pursuing them. Pop talked about how four times it mentions that the Israelites crossed that Red Sea on dry ground. Larry had a good point. He said, I think they kicked up dust as they went through. Dry ground. They couldn't defeat the Egyptians on their own, but God fought their battles for them. How many times has God fought your battle for you? You know, I have always found, and I have been very blessed, and I'll end with this, I've been very blessed as a pastor, and I can truthfully say this, that in almost 20 years of ministry, I've never had but a couple of what I call problems to deal with. And you know what I found in every situation? If I go and I try to solve the problem, me, Roger. If I go to try to solve the problem, I make it worse. I could go up to him and say, now I know y'all two love each other. But if you know what, if I get on my knees and I say, God, I don't know what to do. Show me what to do. You take care of this. Somehow, some way, God, you handle this because I still want unity to prevail. You go fight this battle. You fight the devil that's trying to tear this stuff apart. You go and fight this battle for me. You know what I've always found? If I don't put my mouth in it, it works out a whole lot better. I will tell you, I had two people got wind of me years ago in another church, that there were two people that were arguing. And I even told Ginger, I said, I got to fix this. That was a wrong statement. I got to fix this. I said, because if this escalates, people are going to start taking sides, and we're going. And so I'm praying, God, show me how to fix this. Show me how to fix this. And one night, or one day, I don't remember which one it was, I was standing at the back of the church, and I looked up, and these two people that were having this argument, they were walking back toward me, and they weren't walking slow. They were striding. And I thought, oh, no. I came that close to running. And I sat there and prepared for the onslaught I knew I was going to get. And guess what happened? They walked right by me. And they walked out the front door of the church. And they were outside for a while. In a minute, they came back in. Pastor Roger, can we talk to you? And guess what? They had solved their problem. They were in unity. It was over. It was buried. You know what just happened? God's Spirit fought that battle for me. I didn't have to deal with it. Whatever is facing you, whatever situation is there that you don't seem to be able to see a way, know that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Ask God. Ask God to help us put away the kind of thinking where the ends justify the means, and trust the Lord's wisdom to guide us in every good way. And by the way, let me end with this. This is a wonderful application. If we see our brother or sister that doesn't seem to be moving in a direction of God's will, let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. There was a minister by the name of Dr. Mitchell, and somebody in his congregation pointed out several faults in him and his preaching. But instead of retaliating or trying to defend himself, he looked at the woman that asked this, and he said, "Ma'am, if what you say is true, would you mind praying for me?" You know what? God's Holy Spirit, instead of retaliating, made a way that he could actually witness to her. What challenge are you facing this morning? What situation do you find yourself in and you're wondering, you know what? I don't know what the next move needs to be. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. God, I don't see a way out of this. Are you going to make a way? Yes, he will. But come and ask him. He may not show you the way, but he may strengthen your faith to know that you can depend on him. Would you be willing to do that this morning? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that you'll always be there for us. You'll always lead us through, Father, whatever we're tempted to do. Whatever temptation we face, you'll always make a way. Father, I pray that right now, I know the devil is whispering in ears saying, stay right where you are. This means nothing. Father, help those that are hearing that to overcome that temptation right now and have the courage to come forward and accept you as their Savior. This time is yours. We know you're waiting. May we be obedient to the leading of your Holy Spirit in our lives this morning. Amen.